Let's begin with where it says on the very bottom of the page, Bris Mila L'Toyamim, a Bris Mila for twins.
Wow.
On the very bottom, Daf Ches Amid Aleph, L'Toyamim, twins. When twins, person Zeicha to have twins, how many brachos does he make at the Bris Mila? So today it's pretty standard. You make two brachos, you make two tzabrisim. But Me'ikar Hadin, he's going to show here that according to the Me'ikar Hadin, you only have to make one bracha. You can make two brisim, two seven brisim, but you only really have to make one bracha. Let's see what he says. Shaila of Einais Mitzvahs Chavilais Chavilais. This is the sugya Daf Yomi talking about. If there are two soitais, if two women come into the Beis Hamikdash, two husbands, they claim that the wife was unfaithful. Does the Kohen, can he give them to drink together? So the Gemara says, absolutely not. Each one of the women requires their own separate Megillah. It is dissolved in water, and each one is given a potion for herself, and the entire procedure is done separately. We do not combine them together. So B'shut HaTashbetz Kosav Shemish Shemol Shnei Tinekos Baruch Achas Poitrasam, a person who is mal to children, one bracha exempts them, Bein Hayu Toamim, Bein Lo Hayu Toamim. Now, this is a very big chiddush. We're going to see halacha l'maaseh. We're going to see how we discuss this. But the Tashbeit says it makes no difference whether they are twins or they are not twins. And we'll see nafkamina in a moment why there should be a difference. And he holds it's no different than shechita. A shechit in a slaughterhouse, he makes one bracha in the morning, that's it. You make one bracha, and you proceed to slaughter the entire day. So too is a noyel, who's doing the milah, he makes one bracha, he's the representative of the father, he makes the bracha, and he just continues to do both, or two fathers, he makes one bracha for both. V'doyme l'sheched mea behemos shebracha achas l'kulam v'chein hu b'mi shekaveh mezuzah b'harabotim. For another example, you're putting up a mezuzah, either you're putting up multiple mezuzahs and multiple homes. You make one bracha, and that's enough. V'chein b'varchem b'ruchas chasan l'shnei chasan. Let's say you're a Masader Kedushin and you have a busy night. So you tell your Talmidim, you know what, let's do a double wedding. Just don't mix up the kalas. I don't know, maybe it comes to the Suda, but when it comes to making the brachas, if there are two weddings taking place. I think the Masada Kedushin. You have two, that can happen. You have a double, you have a joint Shev Brachas. That could happen sometimes. So you make one set of Brachas to both. Maybe that's what it means. But maybe.
Is there a hefsek between the first and the second verse?
Oh, so that's how we do it today. That is the way we today, nor there should not be a shayla. He's going to discuss this. The way we do it today, there should not be a shayla. We may complete two separate bris and we're mafsek, so we can make a separate bracha. But he's talking about Me'ikar Hadin. Me'ikar Hadin, you don't have to do it. Me'ikar Hadin, you can go.
Two sadiq sitting with the kids, and the guy, the mile goes
one to the next. Okay, we don't do that today. We make two separate milas. Okay, well, he's going to discuss. There's a very big difference between the case of two. There's going to be a difference between two. Twins and non-twins. Let's see what he says. The Chosav Levar, he explains. Don't ask me a question. How can you have a double bris milah? How could I say what I just said? That we make one bracha and we do two circumcisions in one shot, but don't we have a principle of einos mitzvah chavilos chavilos? The answer is when you have two separate mitzvahs. For example, kubirchas hamazon v'kiddush hayom. Let's say you want a bench. Okay, the example is you're eating a meal Friday afternoon, and you have having a very late lunch. Your suit extends into the evening or to the late afternoon, and you want to recite Birchas Hamazon, and Birchas Hamazon is recited upon a Koyshal Bracha. This can happen Halacha L'maaseh Purim, when Purim falls down on a Friday. So if you're having a very late Su'udah, and you're sitting together with a Tzibur, and you're making Birchas Hamazon on a Koyshal Bracha, even if you have three people, then you can make a Birchas Hamazon on a Koyshal Bracha, even if you're all alone. We don't do that generally. But if you have three people, you can definitely make a Birchas Hamazon on a Koyshal Bracha. So you say, once I already have the Kodesh L'Bracha in my head, I'm reciting Birchas Hamazon, let me also recite Kiddush. The Borei Pri HaGofen that I recite upon the drinking of the Kodesh of Birchas Hamazon shall also be the Borei Pri HaGofen for Kiddush Hayom. It's Friday afternoon, and I'm going to be benching, and I conclude the Birchas Hamazon, and after you conclude Birchas Hamazon, you say Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Borei Pri HaGofen, and you just continue Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Asher Kiddushanu B'Mitzvah V'Ratzavanu V'Shabbos Kosh V'Yav V'Ratzavanu. You will continue with the Nusach of Kiddush after you recite the Borei Pri HaGofen. What about Vayir V'Elokeinu Mashishi? Okay, that's a Shiloh. When are you going to say that? We'll worry about that another time. But why can't you use that same case and the same bracha, Baruch Pri HaGofen, to cover two different mitzvahs, to be the conclusion of Birchas Hamazon, and also for Kiddush? That is a no-no. That is what it means, Einos mitzvahs, chavilos chavilos. You're taking two different mitzvahs, the mitzvah of Birchas Hamazon and the mitzvah of Kiddush, and you're combining them together with one kosh shel bracha. That is a no-no. That is an usher. But avol b'mitzvah achas. But if it's one mitzvah, for example, two children upon whom you're doing the same mitzvah, the mitzvah of bris milah, loy have chavilos chavilos. V'have kikidusha v'yavdalta d'mevarchan hakos echad. I'll prove this to you. What happens when mitzvah Yom Tov? What happens when the Mitzvah Shabbos is the beginning of Yom Tov? Mitzvah Shabbos is the beginning of Yom Tov. So do we first make Havdalah and then recite Kiddush, or do we first make Kiddush and then recite Havdalah? We do, and there's an order to the brachas, but we don't have two separate koisos. We don't first, okay, we'll make Havdalah. We have one Borei Pri HaGofen which covers Kiddush and Havdalah. Kiddush and Havdalah are really the same thing. They're really exactly the same thing. Kiddush, you're separating yourself bein kol l'kodesh, and Havdalah, you're separating yourself bein kodesh l'chol. So according to the Tashbetz, Kiddush and Havdalah in essence is really one mitzvah, and therefore that is why we are allowed to take one kosh shel bracha and recite one Borei Pri HaGofen, and it serves as a Havdalah and as a Kiddush. So we have over here so far three different examples. A double bris milah. It's one mitzvah, it's the same mitzvah. You can make one bracha, and that one bracha can be chal upon both children. Havdalah and Kiddush, it's one mitzvah. Havdalah and Kiddush are one and the same. You can make one Borei Pri HaGofen, and it will cover the Havdalah, and it will cover the Kiddush, as we do halacha lemaisa. However, if you want to recite Birchas HaMazon, and you want to immediately then recite Kiddush, you are not allowed to recite one Borei Pri HaGofen to use it for both, because Birchas HaMazon and Kiddush have nothing to do with one another. And thus, it would be a violation of Eis and Mitzvahs, Chavilas, Chavilas, if we would take one Borei Pri HaGofen and use it for both.
Here's another example. I read in the Sefer one time about coming out of the bathroom making
louder.
There's somebody coming out of the bathroom and washing all Netilas Yadayim and wanting to use the same Netila for Motzi.
But they're allowed to do that, right?
What is the Netilas Yadayim?
Netila and the Bracha are two different.
I'm not arguing.
So what about the netilah? Just doing the netilah. Doing the netilah alone, can that netilah serve as a netilah? You make two brachas. I'll wash my hands, and I'll make two brachas. Asher yotzar, and Asher kiddush. I don't know the answer, but this, okay. But they're two, not so simple. They're two different things.
Well, the washing is different. Also.
They're two different.
Two times.
Okay, the washing, it's not shakasha. The washing, you can.
It's not, that's not the break.
So, are they two different things, because you have to wash your hands for bread even if your hands are 100% clean. There's a din of netilas l'chor. There are two different types of washings. So there are two different types of washings l'chor. It would be a violation of oisin mitzvahs chavilas chavilas based upon the principle that we've just presented here. Okay, now we have more examples. We're not finished yet. We have a lot of kashas. So we have three examples plus Rameski, which is four examples. But now he goes on to say. Now, what about the Gemara? This is the Daf Yomi. The Gemara says that if you have two mitzvahim, who come to the Beis Hamikdash for the ein mitadin oisam ka'achas, they come to the kohen to apply a loig shemen on their thumb and their toe, so they're not done in one shot. You don't do it in one shot. Ulishnei avodim the ein roitzim oisam ka'achas. If two slaves declare, I want to be a niritza, we do not drill a hole into their ear, bevasachas. Ulishne agolois eglarufa, the ain ois dein orpinois samkachas, the chain shte soites, that's the Gemara here, the ain mashkin ois samkachas, the cholhani. That's what's going on. We have a very big problem. Over here we have, we'll just lay out four different examples where they're exactly the same, and in these examples we don't do them together. So why should bris milah be any different? According to the Tashbetz, he's saying that if you have a double bris milah, the moil can make one bracha, and the one bracha can be chal on both of the children. Okay, let's see. But when it comes to all of these examples, the mitzayra, the eglar rufa, the soita, and the mitzayra, bracha, by the way, was also said there. Each one is done separately. So what's the difference between mila and these other examples? So the answer is, unbelievable, because there, each mitzvah, it's my mitzvah. Each soita, it's my mitzvah. Each eglarufa, it's a mitzvah upon the city. Each recipient has their own mitzvah. But a baby, here's the very big chiddush, the child is not a bardas. That's the point he wants to make, and now then he's going to get into a difference between twins. This is the point of difference. Oh, that's the big question. So exactly, so l'chori it's on the mitzvah on the father. So then, let's right away explain, then we'll read it inside. So here's where he's really going to come to at the end, is that when it comes to twins, if a person, who has the obligation to do a bris milah for these twins? One father. There's one father. One father has two children. So there's only one person. The baby, the twins, they're not chai. They're 8 days old. They don't know the difference. They have no obligation to do mitzvahs. Bris milah is a mitzvah habein al ha'af. It's a mitzvah that's done to the child, but the obligation is upon the father. There's one father for the two children. Therefore, you can make one bracha, and that one bracha covers both children.
On the city.
You'd have to probably analyze what exactly is the situation. What is the situation? Okay. Let's put that aside. Let's assume two victims.
Victims on the city. On both of them.
Okay, so that's a law, Mr. Shiloh. Okay, Kaper, okay, you want to know, is it the victim? There are two victims, or is it on the city, or is it on the Zikanim? Enochnami, we have to analyze each case individually, but let's try to at least to present the site.
It's a city of murderers. Everyone
gets it. Question over here, but when it comes to, let's say they're like today, let's say you have two fathers. You have a shul, and Reuven has a son, and Shimon has a son. What? On the same day?
On the same day with the same oil.
The same oil. So,
but they separated.
They separated.
But if, hospital.
Oh, that's all. So that's the issue. So if you have two different fathers, so then you can argue. Here is where the Tashbeit is coming to play to have the dilemma. On the one hand, upon whom is the real chiv? The real chiv really is upon the father. There are two fathers, so even though the moil has appointed me as an agent for you and for you, I'm the agent, but since I'm a double agent, so two people, so therefore I have to make two separate brachas. Or do we say, Einachinami, it's true that there are two fathers, but you have to look at the child. The child, BMS, is not a bar chiyuva. The child is not aware of what is not in the category. The father has an obligation, but the significance of the father's obligation is not enough to separate the two milois into two distinct milois. Bishlam, when it comes to a sota, there's Leah and there's Rachel. We're dealing with two individuals which are completely separate. You're dealing with two mitzorayim. There's Reuven and Shimon. We're dealing with two adults. Here, anyway, it's already indirect. The baby is not a bar chiyuva. There is someone here who bears responsibility. The one that bears responsibility to make sure the meal is done is the father. But what would happen if there would not be a father? Who would then bear the responsibility? It's the Beis Din. There's only one Beis Din. The same Beis Din would ultimately be responsible in the event that there is no father for both children. So if you want to start out with the child itself, the child is not a bar chayuva, so we can really deal with them as individuals who have an obligation. And if you want to go look at the ultimate responsibility where the parents would remove themselves, it would be one single bezdin. Now the question is, when there are two fathers present, who are each one taking responsibility for the child, is that significant enough to break up the two children, the two separate mitzvahs, where the mother will make two different brachas, like the example of Saita and the example of the mitzvah and Egla Rufa, or no? Or maybe one bracha is enough. So this is really where he's not clear, and he comes at Lamaskana that there would be a difference between, that we do say it's significant, and there will be a difference between twins and non-twins. If it's twins, Me'ikar Hadin is one father. There's one father, the children are from nothing, there's only one best, then you really only need to make one bracha. If it's not one father, it's two fathers, then maskoni paskins, then you can and should make two separate brachas. Halacha lemaisa, we don't follow any of this. Halacha lemaisa, we go to the extreme of enos and mitzvahs, chavilas, and we're mafsik. We're mafsik between one child and the other child. We don't bring them in together. Completely two separate ceremonies. Everything is separate. That constitutes a hefsek, where in lechatchila you can make a separate bracha for each one. So we don't follow this tashbetz, at least to be machmir, to make sure, because I guess if you would bring the two children to the Beis HaKnesses together, you would get into a very big shiloh. You really should only be making one bracha. So in order that we should not even get into that shiloh, that's why we're machmir, to keep the two children completely separate, and there should be a complete hefsek. So let's finish.
Rabbi, if Al Reshev didn't have a bris milah,
yes.
Burden on him to have the
priesthood? Once he becomes an adult, he becomes him. It's his obligation. It's his obligation. It's his, right, when he becomes, it's now his responsibility.
I remember my father once told me that the Munkacha made a bris for twins. He was the Sadek, and he did it, you know.
And he made one bracha?
Did they make one bracha?
One bracha, and he did both. In one soup, in one mice chaticha.
He had one kid on the right
knee. It was the oil and the sandig, and it was twins.
Yeah. He brought them both in, right? In both arms. Of Meir, that's not a kunz. Of Meir. Of Meir, that's not a kunz. If it would have been triplets, that would be a kunz.
So today, we have multiple beitin.
What?
Today we have multiple beitin. Who's responsible?
The bezdin, this community, the rabbi is responsible. Today, if there is no father, Rachmana Litzlan, whatever, the father left town, then the bezin, the tzibur is responsible, the local rabbi. The rabbi of the mother is responsible. It's his responsibility. Okay, let's finish up the words over here. So the Gemara, let's see, we're up to the hasels are 1, 2, 3, 4 lines from the bottom. The hasel mahavi kol have kol achas mitzvah b'nei atzma ulucholech v'yachad afim l'shnei tinoikos l'shnei b'nei adam loy dami lahani, even two children from two different people loy dami lahani mishum the hanach mitzvos rami alayu the bezdin l'vnei adam chalukin. When it comes to the mitzvahs that are mentioned, the mitzvahs mentioned above of the saita, the mitzvah, the eglarufa, there. The bezdin is each person is unique. Bezdin has an obligation to deal with each person on their alone. Al mila deramya al av on the father. The cholchad v'chad mechayv l'mimal berei loy have mitzvos chavilos chavilos. It's not the person. It's already secondary. The child, the recipient of the mitzvah, is not the principal. Because he is not obligated. So who then is the one that is taking responsibility to do the bris milah? It's a secondary source. It's a secondary person. So once already it's secondary, that removes from us the problem of enos and mitzvahs, chavilas, provided we're doing one mitzvah. If the children, let's let the children will be adults. Let's say, for example, two people, two adults would come in front of us, they want a bris milah. And the moel says, I'll make one bracha for both of you. Then you don't do it. Then you have to make two separate brachas, because since now the two children are adults, so each one has their own separate obligation on das. But since they do not have das, they're out, and now there's someone else stepping in to take responsibility, a father, even though there are two different fathers. But he's suggesting that since the two fathers are already one step removed from the principle, that already takes away the problem of enos and mitzvos chavilas, and you can make one bracha. Now go im yaitzim bebracha achas, go to the top of the next page. And it's similar to Sheichet Behemoth Sheyotze Brachas Achas. An animal has no das. Animal has no das. And let's say each animal is owned by someone else. Let's say I have two different partners. Reuven owns animal number one, and Shimon owns animal number two. So Reuven has a prohibition of eating the vela, and Shimon has a prohibition of eating the vela. And the Sheichet's going to shecht for both Reuven and Shimon. Does he make two brachas, or does he make one bracha? He makes one bracha. But why? There are two owners. There are two people that are chayv in the mitzvah. Reuven wants to eat his animal, and Shimon wants to eat his animal. Each one are equal in respect to the halacha that they're not allowed to eat the ve'ela. So you should make two different brachas. Obviously, that when the animal does not have das, and the animal is out of the picture, and you have to transfer the responsibility to someone else, it's not the chifts of the mitzvah, then there is no problem with chavilas, chavilas. So we look at the father in relation to his son like an owner in relation to his animal. And there's no mitzvah, chavilas, chavilas. One brach is enough. You have many shaykhtim. One shaykh, one person can make a brach in the slaughterhouse. And all of the shaykhtim can answer amen. And they can shaykh the entire day. What? They'll do that. Each shaykh makes his own bracha. Each shaykh makes his own bracha. When I was in Empire many years ago in the slaughterhouse in Pennsylvania for chickens, so the shift was they worked 10 hours a day. But only they work an hour and they have off for an hour. They're on a shift for 10 hours, but they only work 5 hours of those 10 hours. They work an hour, they rest for an hour. They work an hour, they rest for an hour until 10 hours are complete. So I'm imagining they made a bracha at the beginning of each hour. They make a bracha, they shecht nonstop for 1 hour. The whole day, one bracha for the entire day, even to take a break. They go to mincha. Yeah, they go dafyomi. Most of them I saw, they're on the cell phone during their hour break. They're on the cell phone talking to their wives or whatever they're talking to. As long as you're in the shlachtas, you'll make one bracha. You're not going to say, okay, it could be. I don't know. Okay, let's go further. Just like when it comes.
And if you have a whole bunch of shachtim, and you say there's benai,
it's mutter.
Different shachtim, and they're doing it together.
It's considered to be.
It still might be the iser, but you say there's benai.
The shtei behemos nami gufim mechulakim. They're called gufim mechulakim. Havel inyan oischa. I'm not sure what he's referring. Let's leave it out. Amnam biyat shol hevi devarv. He brings down this opinion that he says that a father and a son is like a sheichet and an animal, and since the animal is removed from the equation, the child likewise is removed from the equation. So there's no problem of chavilos chavilos. He disagrees. He says we look at the father. Vehiksha bebahavana sachilik vekerem nata kosav levar shatinik enoi bar mitzvah. The child is not yet bar mitzvah in a chanami. I agree with your concept, with this idea, provided that there's only one father for both children. He disagrees. The Yadshul says it's a very nice svara to equate a father and a child to an owner and an animal, but I disagree. Obviously, he's saying is that it's the father is a mitzvah. Mitzvahs habein al ha'av. Even though the child is not about mitzvah, it's the father's mitzvah. So therefore, you're representing two different principles. And if you're dealing with two different principles, then you would have the problem of inoisim mitzvahs chavilus chavilus. Even though it's the same mitzvah, it's one. It's mila. You do mila. But since there are two separate people that need this mila to be done, it's like two seitais, it's like two mitzoroim, two eglarufais, and therefore you have to make two separate brachas. That's the opinion of the Yadshul. So he's mechal, but he does agree that if it's twins, he agrees. If it's twins, it's one father, he has one obligation, one bracha would suffice for both children. And you said a mayor, you're saying that the munkat she did this,
yeah.
But the halacha l'maisa, we don't do this. You don't see anymore. This today, you see when they are twins, they make two completely separate ceremonies. Okay, next.
It's different also because the shochet is really third. This is the second removed only.
The shochet, yeah.
But the most.
Who the shochet is representing? The shochet is representing the owner of the animal. There's a person that wants to eat meat. He has a mitzvah. He has a mitzvah. If you want to eat meat,
He's not representing the owner, really. He's checking it for the whole public who wants to eat it.
No, he's checking the owner. You have to own the animal.
Someone owns the animal.
I checked it for empire. But empire owns it.
How's the same, it's even more removed than that.
So it's even better. It's better to, I could say it's really one owner. It's one owner.
You're buying the sheep that comes out that day. So a lot of times you don't even own the animal until it's a kosher sheep. If it's straight, it's us, it's not yours.
Okay, let's go. There's some really good stuff. I want to cover some ground. Okay, let's see. Kolish, Shmias Kolish. Okay, this is a short one. It's the Sugim Gemiri Ein Yetzahara Shalit El B'Mashin Avroyas. Okay, the Gemara talks about it that when they gave the Saita to drink, they ripped her clothing. So they did not allow young Kohanim in. They did not allow young Kohanim in the Beis Hamikdash when they would rip her for clothing because she was exposed. She might be exposed. When they would rip her clothing, sometimes it happens that her dress was ripped and she was exposed, and they did not want the young Kohanim to have hirhurim for this woman. So the Gemara
says you can't.
But if they were pirchei Kohanim, then they did not. So Tosfos there in the process is the question, what about the Tosfos kasu sheyesh makshim al kach mimashamu b'chigiga arayos bein defana bein shlebefana nafesh yitzirayu. Now, when it comes to arayos, arayos, bein bifanov, bein shlo, even enough as she's right, even if it's not in your presence, even if you don't see the erva, the person. There's a very powerful yetzara. The kasu she'ein zeh kasha klal shalu amu bechagiga ella shemiachas sheroha erva pam achas shuv mahar achemecha le'oil mafilu shloi b'faneha. So Tois there says that if a person sees something, if a person sees an isha, and he has a yetzara for, even if he no longer sees her, she's no longer present, he will continue to have a yetzara. But if a person never saw her, if he never knows, the question over here is that if the Kohanim know what's going on, the Kohanim are told, leave the Beis Hamikdash, a sota is here, we have to do this ceremony, and it's not proper for a young man to be present when this thing is happening. So once they hear about it, that itself will incite them. That will they'll be overtaken by the Yetzar. So the Gemara says, no, it's not so. They're only going to have a Yetzar if they actually see something. If they'll see it, then they'll remember it for the rest of their lives, even when they don't see it. But if they never saw it, then there's not going to be a problem.
Why is it for an older man? I don't see the difference.
What?
Because he doesn't have a Yetzer Hara. We're talking alter kakas, you know.
What, the older people?
You have a Yetzer Hara?
Me?
You're asking a very good question. No, you're really asking a very good question. And the answer is something along what our mayor says, is that the Yetzer Hara for an adult, for a Zaken, is diminished, not 100%. You're right, you're really asking good, is diminished. And therefore, if someone has to do it, better the Zaken do it and not the young person do it.
But Mara says somebody who you're about to, you don't have a, there's no hirhurim when somebody's going to die a disgusting death.
It takes away. Skila, when they did Skila, they also were not married. There's a famous story with Rabbi Leo Lapian. Is Rabbi Elio Lapian? Is that the one? Is the Mashkiach in Kfar Hasidim?
Yeah.
Kfar Hasidim, where a bacher told him that he's going somewhere on the bus. So he said to him, "How could you go to this place? You have to travel in a place where there are noshim that are not dressed sneistic." So he says, "It's okay. I can control myself. I it doesn't affect me. I don't have a yetzahar for this. I go there." So he says, "Give me the phone. I'm calling the doctor. There's something wrong with you." So it's just, what do you mean? Something says, "I don't know what you're telling me. You don't have a yetzahara. I'm a zokin. Look at me. I'm a 90-year-old man. I can tell you, when I go on the bus, I have a yetzahara. So you, alachas kama should have a yetzahara. And if you're telling me what?"
He shouldn't go on the bus.
That's what he was telling him. He was telling him, whatever the story was, obviously he was telling him he was going to a place where he should not be going.
It's a true story. It's a lady went on the bus in July that had separated. She walked in the front. And she was 80 years old. She had a beard, you know. Hunchback.
It's a firm.
And some wise guy said to her, "Lady, to the back." So she stopped. and looked at him. She said, "You have a Yetzer Hara for me?"
Okay, here's the question. Tosfos, the Gemara says, you're asking a good question. The Zakenim were present when this ceremony was done. They told the Yom Kohanim to leave. Tosfos, why they should not have a Yetzer Hara. Tosfos, Zakashim, the Gemara says, you have a Yetzer Hara for something, for a woman, even if she's not present. If these Yom Kohanim are aware of what is taking place behind closed doors, that itself will bring them to a state of having a Yetzer Hara. So Tosfos says, no, it's not. The only time that it says in the Gemara that a person has a Yetzer Hara for a woman that's not in his presence, if once upon a time he saw her, if he saw her in a state that lacked tznius, that image will be with him for the rest of his life, and it will come l'day hearer. Even when he doesn't see her, even 10 years later, he'll think about her. But if he never saw her, it's not going to happen. Dvarim Pshutim. So here he's coming to ask the question when it comes to Kol Isha. When you turn on, when you go to a concert, so what is the prohibition? The Chazal told us you're not allowed to hear a woman sing solo live. Everyone agrees. There's no L'chaluki Deis on this. To hear to a live concert where a woman is singing solo is an erva. Okay, that we understand. That's because that you actually you're singing. Is that only a Jewish woman?
Oh, no.
Okay, so this. So the question over here is. Okay, let's. So the question is, what happens? The question is, what happens if you don't, based upon this Tosfos, that you have to actually see in order to have her hear? What happens if you don't see her? Let's say you go to a live concert and the woman is singing from behind a mechitza. You don't see her. Let's say you're listening to a recording. You don't see her. So can we apply this principle that the Gemara says that in order for a person to come l'day hearer, he has to see something, and if he sees, even if currently he's not seeing, but once upon a time he saw, that will bring l'day hearer. So when you have a situation where you're listening to the voice of a woman singing from a recording, you're not actually seeing, or you're actually at a live concert and you're not actually seeing, is that grounds to be lenient? That is the issue. So he says as follows, V'chasu, Erva Arayas Bemifanab Vukasav, third line from the top, She'ein Ze Kosha Klaus, Shaloy Amu Bhagiga Ella, Bhagiga Ella, Shemi Achas, Sheroho Ho Erva Pam Achas. You have to first see her once. Shuf, there is danger, Maharer Acharecha Loilam. Afilu Shloibifonecha. Avo Machma Sherohanis Haniskeles, in a situation where one is being put to death. Okay, this is another example of the Gemara. When a woman is put to death, she's put to death without any clothing. When they stone her, they take off her clothing. Why is that she should die quickly? If she's wearing clothing, the impact, the protection that the clothing affords will cause her to die a slow, prolonged death, prolong her life. In order that she should die quickly, she is stoned without clothing. But Machma Shiran is skills, the movie says, Afilu Shlomo Fedech Aval Machma Shiran and Skelis Aruma in Mahar Achar Acheres, he's not going to be Mahar after a different woman. Okay, the Shut Chelkas Yaakov Shakasa Bedvar Shmias Kolisha Alidei phonograph. Okay, so we will call today a tape recorder. A tape recorder, a digital recording. Okay, the digital recordings today are so good, they're better than real.
Ain't the Yodea Shum. It's a digital or analog.
What's the difference? The digital today is just as good, if not better, than the analog. It's even better, the digital. The technology today is superior to anything we have ever had before. The quality of sound is unbelievable. No? Well, the digital thing you're telling me is not as good as the analog? Fine, whatever works, it sounds really good. I don't know. to me, this...
They say the real artist can tell the difference. Photography also.
Between a regular...
The photographer says the digital is not as good as the old film.
They used to say that years ago, not anymore. Today, the digital is so... It's so...
If you enlarge it longer, don't you see the...
The iPhone has more pixels... then the human eye, then the eye is capable of seeing.
Enough, you'll see pixels.
But
it gets grainy.
I think what they used to say that 10 years ago, that when the digital first became popular 10 years ago, they said that the expert can, they can still see that in the traditional film, the quality of film is better than the quality of digital, but not anymore. Today the digital, that the resolution is so great that the quality of pictures is even greater than the traditional film, and with sound as well. The quality of sound today is just unbelievable. They're different qualities. Look, I record here on very low quality. I can record on low quality, so I can record over here for 100 hours. If I record on high quality, so I can only record 3-4 hours at a time. But the files are humongous, they're huge. Okay, let's go further. So over here, his question over here is, so he says over here, that again, you have to know this, Chelukas Yaakov, there are many Chelukas on this. Are you allowed to listen to Kol Lishon on a recording? So the different opinions. The Chelukas Yaakov says, Shekostav Shebedav Shmeyas Kol Lishon Yidei Phonograph, Eina Yodei Shum Hete Bezeh. He holds that it's Osur. Okay, don't get worried. There are many places that say that it's Mutter, but he holds that it's Osur. Af Al Gav Dem Vub Saita, so why should it be Osur? Don't we have a principle that the only time a person comes to hear is if he sees something? So maybe if you see the woman and then you listen to her, so maybe that would be a problem. You're not going to see her. Amar Rava Gemiri Ein Yetzahara Shalit Ela B'Mash Ein Avros V'Zeh Davka L'Nin Lahar Acharecha Acharkach Avol. So he says the answer, because that's only in regard to having Kiruhurim later. Avol Kisheshoma, he is of the opinion that when you're actually listening to Kol Yisha, even on a recording, Eskoyla V'Nene, and he's having Hano now, then Zehu Ho Isser, this is Isser Bahavi Erva, it's an Erva at this moment, Kimbur Bibrochis, Ki Koilech Ore, if your voice is sweet, Marich Nobe. So we see here that this is describing an Isha in Kesher Hashem, we're calling it Koilech Oreif. V'yaf Be'en Yoido Makir, even if you do not know her and you do not recognize her, V'hare Erva Be'ashashis Oser, and everyone agrees that an Erva through glass, if you see a woman through a glass, Oser, the Shama Erva Hi Hari'iyah, V'yaser Av She'ena B'rishus, even though she is not in your domain. So he's commanding, it's a chiddush what he's saying. He's saying, just like when it comes to seeing an Erva, you're not allowed to look at a woman that's not properly dressed through glass, even though she's not in your reshus, to the laws of Hilchos Shabbos, she's in a different reshus, she's in a different domain, you're in the street and she's indoors, different reshus, but if she's not dressed, and there is clear glass between you and her, that is a clear violation of looking at an erva. So too, when it comes to listen to the Kol Isha, even though she is not present, hey, so he's trying to draw this analogy. Everyone agrees that it is forbidden to look at an erva, even though she is in a different reshus, if you actually can see her. So he says, listening to a recording is the same thing. She's not in your reshus. She's not here. She's inside the machine. Right? You ask a child that talks on the phone, they ask, where is the person? They're in the phone. They're in the machine. They're not in the your reshus, but listening is something which
not really their voice.
It doesn't matter. It's good enough. It's good enough. That's what he said. You're right. This is the heter. Many of us are makel in this matter. You'll go online, you'll watch a recording, or you'll hear a recording on the radio.
Megillah is doing through a microphone, loudspeaker. Are you really hearing the person?
Are you really hearing it? So, Ikra, some hold that it's mutter. Some hold that you could be Yotzei and Kriya Samegillah through a microphone.
Well,
I say
you can't.
What?
He says,
you know, in this community, it's not going to go off well. Okay, in this community, in Flapush, you're not going to go to a shul, they're going to have a Kriyas HaMegillah with a microphone. But you'd be surprised if you go out of town, you'd be surprised that in some communities, and Shabbos not, Shabbos that far they would not go, even though on Shabbos you'll find me Paiskin that can legitimize that it's not the end of the world on Shabbos using a microphone either. The microphone was turned on before Shabbos, and now they have Groma microphones, and they've even come up with new technology, but it's not in the spirit of Shabbos. Hopefully one day we'll do the Shabbos. Well, this really came out very well in last year when there was this sensation with this thing called the Shabbos switch. Someone invented a grama switch, and he somehow, I don't know how he did this, he got it from the biggest poskim to sign off that it's kosher. And it seems from what I've read that they were misled. It was they rescinded. It was they only were under the assumption they were using it for hospitals, for anyway situations where anyway there was going to be chil Shabbos or Adrabbah. So this is a technique which is okay. Virtually all of the poskim came out at the end of the day and they said maybe you're right. Technically, it could very well be that it's not an issur deraisa, it's a grama, and you're not doing. But it's one thing is for sure: it is not in the spirit of halacha. And that alone is a reason to prohibit the use of these Shabbos switches in a home that has no special needs. That was the end of the day. You're right, it might technically be kosher. It's a grama. There are very sophisticated techniques being used where when you turn on the switch, you're not turning on the switch, you're just putting into motion a random circuit that will decide within 10-15 seconds when and if it wants to turn on the lights for you, and that itself is also going to be done in a roundabout way. So technically you're not violating any law on Shabbos, but in the spirit of halacha, what did you just do? In the spirit of halacha, you turn on the lights. And that is what?
Covered Shabbos.
Covered Shabbos. Kedusha Shabbos. You've circumvented the Isser in a way that is not within the spirit of the law. So that's the same issue of here when it comes to Kalisha. Technically, when push comes to shove, when you have to listen to Kalisha, it's mutter. Everyone says this. You have to go listen to Kalisha over a microphone. If you go, let's say, even go to a concert. So they're heterim. They use the microphone the other way around. Even though the woman is in front of me, I can see her, and she's singing a solo, but she's singing in the microphone. So what am I really listening to? I'm really listening to the electronic voice. I'm not really listening to her voice. Is that enough of a heter to go to a concert? Well, if the concert is your granddaughter, then you're going to make use of that heter. If you have no reason to be there, then it's not in the spirit. It's not in the spirit of halacha. Okay, that's really what it comes down to. So here, the Chelkas Yaakov wants to say that Nikra Adin. This is he holds that it's also Nikra Adin. The Havi Ever Shabbos Shabbos. Just like when it comes to looking at everything through glass, also the Shama Erva He Beharuiv also Afshein Beirshusai. Uveshmiyah Erva He Hashmi. When it comes to listening, the Erva is to listen. Shenene Bezev Gamkin Afshein Beirshusai V'Af Gamkin Shenene Roy. Even though she's not in your Rishus, and even though you do not see her, he has established that just listening is considered erva, based upon the pasuk in Shir Hashirim that says ki koylech orev. This is an expression of love and coming close to Anisha. Your voice is pleasant. The fact the pasuk describes this love between a man and a woman in such an expression, according to the Chelkas Yaakov, is an indication that even listening to a pleasant voice is called an erva, and you don't have to be in the same room with her, and it doesn't have to be real. It can be a representation that's just good enough.
This is only with a pleasant voice?
I guess so. If a woman speaks, there's no error for listening to a woman speak. A woman giving a speech, there's no...
Male singer.
What? That's relative. What are you called? But you never heard that you can't go listen to a woman speak.
I just realized, the Indian of the site,
yeah.
The Kayan had a look at her?
Not necessarily, no.
It says that there are some stories where he turned around.
Not necessarily. And first of all, there was no guarantee that her clothing would rip. They would rip her clothing. It did not necessarily fall.
They tied her up before then.
She could have been in a distorting glass around her, like one of these.
It says they put a rope around her garments, and it wasn't a guarantee the clothing would rip anyway. So there were many sakas. Okay, let's go further.
Rabbi, just saying a woman's face could be yitzhara.
No. That's extremism. That's extremism to say such a thing. Erva, that's another issue. Erva. That's a question. Is an erva for tefillah? Then it's considered to be an erva. No, when it's not during the time of tefillah, it's not necessarily called an erva. When it's not during time of tefillah, here is middle ground. This is a very big debate. What exactly is the status of a woman's hair? If hair was considered an erva, a single girl would not be allowed to walk the streets without their hair covered. Right. So that says it all. That says it all.
They look
what?
The shekels and they do without it.
That's another issue. So in there are many places that say Rav Avadya Yosef, Rav Avadya Yosef was very against wicks. Right. Rav Avadya Yosef did not allow, that's the time they have in all of the...
There's not one Paisik from before the war that exists. I'm talking about the Orthodox that was martyred.
Look, my great grandfather, okay, my great was Rav Nosson Levine. Okay, my father was of Aaron. His father was of Mordechai. His father was of Aaron, the Reish Rav, and before him was the Reish Rav. Before him was Rav Nosson Levine. When he came to Raisha, the Hasidim objected to him becoming Rav. One of their objections, there were a lot of Hasidim living in Raisha. One of their objections was written up in the book on Raisha, is because they complained that his wife, the Reish Rav's wife, she wore the most stylish shetlach. She was too much in style. Her shetlach were too much in style to be accepted as the Rav of Raisha. Okay, but the fact that a single girl is allowed to walk the streets with her hair uncovered is a statement in halacha that hair is not begeder erva mamish.
There's two things I asked for him.
Yeah.
One is lipstick,
yeah.
As Kimson, which is mamish toilas.
Yeah.
It goes into the food.
So what did he say?
And the other thing is about chaitler. So he says,
Rabbi Reisman told me the same thing.
What?
Rabbi Reisman, he once gave a shiur about women's issues. And I was in a shiur at that time, in Torah Vedas at that time. He gave a shir mitzvah Shabbos, and he said the next morning all of the balabatim came to him with comments and complaints, and they had in their hand different items that he spoke about, and they gave him a very, very hard time. And he learned from that experience, mutav sheyushaygin v'al yehumezidin, not to talk about this topic again. Don't ask, don't tell. He told us to share. No, not shadels. That was the other issues. Other halachic issues of makeup on Shabbos and things like that. So the other different issues. Okay, but here is we also af she'ena b'rishusav v'mishmir ha'erva hi ashmir v'shenena b'zev v'gamkin af she'ena b'rishusav v'afki gam k'shenu roi oisla k'kevan d'ikra b'kan hi ashmir v'emes yoyre darko di af be'ena roi ha'isha v'ena makira also l'shmir kala. Okay, for that he takes a very hard line. He combines together all of these different ideas, koylich orev, and the fact that you do not need to be in the same reshus, and it's b'shas maisa, we're not dealing with something later on, we're dealing with over here b'shas maisa, drawing pleasure. He holds that it is osir. B'shut afar kisa ta'anya. Hevi shebeshut prifasode kosav shekol b'ish erva hatan b'stomo de'akol me'oyer ha'taiva v'ahir. Why do Chazal say kol b'ish erva? Because the call arouses taiva and hear her. To abshit the kol b'ish erva afilu enim stakul ba. It's davar posh, even if you do not see the woman when she is singing, it's still prohibited. De'i lo havi erva rak kishebestakul ba b'lav hachi also afilu enim shmei b'kol. Then it's not necessary. If the only prohibition of listening to a woman is only when you can see her, then anyway, it is forbidden. Now, I don't know what the svar does. Doesn't make sense to me. This because what's so wrong with looking at a woman?
If you're looking,
what's wrong with looking at a woman? The avsha amru gemiri ein yetzahara shelid el lemasha ein avroyes. Why should it be prohibited to listen? Doesn't the Gemara Masechta Sota say that the yetzahara is only shelid upon what you see? The answer is mikol makom b'kol zemer ein lechalik. It's right. Sing, if a woman is talking, there's no yetzar. But when a woman is singing, that is already a different category. Kevan deyesh bezeh his oirus yisera lekoyach hatavani. Can move like we all can understand and relate to. The oir ayin b'shut minchas alaser. Okay, now the truth is, I'll tell you the truth is, I had my own experience. I was once watching some YouTube videos. Okay, I was watching some Jewish weddings. And then, you know, on YouTube, you go from one thing to the next and you find yourself in the place you shouldn't be. Okay, so I saw.
Really?
I was watching.
No filter.
I'll tell you all my averis here, okay? I'll tell you all my averis.